This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magadan. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Then delivered us, you've saved us. Father, you've done everything that we need done in our lives. And Lord, we are careful and that we're going to give you the glory and praise for all you've done. Father, we ask that you touch every person in this place in some way, God. Touch those that are in need desperately in their heart to be healed, in their mind to be delivered, and in their flesh to be saved. Father, we ask you now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, because without you we're nothing. But Lord, because of you and with you, Lord, we can do all things. And Father, we can even love our neighbor and our enemies. We can even forgive those who have despitefully used us. We can do this because of your spirit dwelling in us, Lord. Father, we give you glory now and ask that you would touch me and give me precision of speech and give me clarity of thought. And let my mind, Lord God, be able to receive that which you have said and done and to be able to articulate it in an effective way, God. Lord, let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which you shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, peace, and prosperity to all those that hear and believe it. We thank you, God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that cures, cleanses, covers, and connects us to you. We thank you, Lord God, for the word of God that strengthens and sustains us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost of God that you've given unto us, Lord God, so that we could be guided and that he gives to us what you have said and what you would desire. Father, we thank you now and we give you glory that you've looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and that you've poured out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. You've given me the anointing that makes preaching easy, and I thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And Father, when you've touched, delivered, healed, set free, and you've done all you want to do in this service, Lord God, we'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, and the praise. And we will join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy, you are holy, you are holy, and your glory fills the earth. We thank you, Lord, and we praise your name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought this morning the blessing of being spirit-led. It's a blessing to being spirit-led. Preach anyway. Or maybe he got it on. He got it stored up over there at Stein, and they're just waiting to bring the lumber to the site to build the house. I wish I had somebody here. I don't know where he's got it stored at, but you know what? Everything is his storage, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and them that dwell therein. He may have it in a person. That may be a multimillionaire that say, hey, you know what? I want to bless you. I wish I had somebody here. You don't know what God has in store for you, but there's a blessing in being spirit-led. But we have to take action, and we have to get access to God that other people don't have. You see, the world don't have this access. The Bible says that the carnal man, he said the natural man can't receive the things of God. So they don't have this access. The natural man can't receive what we receive. Yeah, the Bible says that God rains on the unjust, but they can't receive like we receive. You know why? Because sometimes we don't even have to pray for stuff, and God will just put it in your way. We don't even have to say, Lord, please bless me with this. God say, I want to just bless them, and you won't even expect it, and one day there it is. It automatically just shows up, and you say, wow, I didn't even know God was thinking about me like this. You know how it is when you really love somebody. You send them something, you bless them with something. They wasn't even expecting you to spend that kind of money, but you said, you know, I just wanted to be a blessing. I love them, and I want to express my love toward them. How many have done that in their lifetime? Well, guess what? God is better than you. you, and he has better love than you have. His love is more perfect than yours. He has more money than you have, and so he can bless us with whatever we need, because we have access to all the things that God has. And most importantly, we have access to eternal life. We have access to be able to live forever. If we die to this death to the flesh, then we don't have to die again. I wish I had somebody. But if we don't die now, we'll die again and again. We'll die a second death. Come on and say amen. But we have access to God. He said, for as many that are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We got to understand, he's saying, those that are carried by. The word led is the word ego in the Greek. And it means to be carried by. It means to be brought. It means to go. It means to be led away. It means to be open. In other words, if you're open to what God is saying and you're open to the leading of God's Spirit, he says, then you can become a son. A person who can't be a son is a person who's unteachable. You try to tell them what God said, they don't want to hear it. You try to tell them what God would want you to do, they don't want to. I don't want to hear that from you. They're a person that are unteachable. And there's a word in the Bible for that, and I won't say it for the sake of children. Come on and say amen. But that's what you become, a fatherless person. Amen. Whenever, you know how you have an illegitimate, you know what we call that in the natural. But that, and people used to say, you know what, I'm not going to let these children come and get christened in the church because the parents weren't married. That's not what that means. That means that people who are unteachable, that's what that means. Come on and say amen. Because the truth, let the truth be told, it's so many of us. Come on and say hallelujah. But God is our Father. And so since we're teachable, then we are sons of God. Amen. He says in verse 15, I'm almost getting there. He says in verse 15, he says, not only do we have to take actions, but we have access. But then he says, you have an adoption that happens. We are blessed by being led of the Spirit, because look at the adoption. He says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He says, now we don't receive the spirit of bondage that we need to fear. And you know, we got to get past trying to make people scared so they'll serve God. Now, come on and say amen. Because if they are fearful and they come serving God, they won't stay serving him. When they figure out they can live by grace, because they'll keep saying, you know, well, God will forgive me. I never forget, and I tell this story all the time, but it's been years ago. I heard somebody was talking about what they were going to do. They was standing on the doors of a church, and they was talking about, well, I think I'm going to go take my little money and go up here to the boat right quick, and the Lord's going to have to forgive me. And then the deacon looked at him and said, yeah, just go ask him to forgive you and pull that lever. All I'm saying is that's the way people think. They think, well, you know what? God will forgive you. Just go and do what you're going to do. God will forgive you because he's merciful. He's kind. But that is a certain point that we should not frustrate the grace of God. Preaching, amen. And he says to us, he said, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but he said, you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And so what he's saying here is that God has adopted us as his own. And you know what that means? That means that when you adopt somebody, that means is they're subject not to even look like you. That means that they don't look like they're part of your family. Preach anyway. That means that they may not even act like you, walk like you. There's a chance they may have something in them that may be rebellious to your family. Amen. But you take a chance. You look at them and you say, even with their issues, you can find out where their parents come from, what they did. Both parents in jail, you know, whatever. And then you look at their child and say, I still want them. That's what God did to us. He looked at us and saw that even our parents were criminals to him. Come on and say amen. But he still looked at us and said, I want you. I want to keep you for my own. I want to make you my child. God looked at us even in our wrong and our potential to do wrong. He still said, I still want you to be my child. I wish I had somebody here. God looked at us and adopted us when it looked like we didn't even favor him. But you know what? If you walk with somebody long enough, talk with them long enough, you start sounding like them. You ever seen a child that seemed like when they grew up in the house with people, they were adopted and you couldn't even tell? They were adopted because they were
adopted and you knew it, you try to see the difference, and you see that the man was left-handed, and guess what? That child came up left-handed. You saw that the man, that he had a certain laugh, and all of a sudden that child had a certain laugh. And you know what happened? What happened was that spirit of that person came upon that child, and they began to look like, act like the people in the family. Come on and say amen. And so what God is saying, if you come in my family, if you hang around long enough, you'll get my spirit, and you'll begin to talk like me. I'm going to talk my language. You know, they may be born of a foreign country, but you adopt them and bring them here. They learn English. They talk the talk that you talk. Their vocabulary will be your vocabulary. I wish I had somebody. Oh, come on and say amen. They say words that you would say. You know how it is. You say stuff that your mom and them said. You know how you say, I'll be there tomorrow if the Lord will and the creek don't rise. You know, you say the same stuff your mother and them said. And so what I'm saying is that when you're adopted by God, you'll begin to say the things that God said. You'll begin to do the things that God wants done. You'll begin to walk like him, talk like him. And even when you go through situations, you begin to act like Jesus. You begin to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You begin to pray for them that despitefully use you, because you belong to the family of God. You begin to say, I'll turn my other cheek. If they slap me on this cheek, I'll turn the other. You begin to say, I forgive you 100. I forgive you 7 times 77 times in a day. I don't care how many times you come against me, I won't hold it against you. You begin to say, I'll feed my enemy when they're hungry, and I'll give them water when they're thirsty. You begin to look and say, you know what, Father, whatever your will, not my will, but thy will be done. The more you walk like him, the more you live like him, the more you're connected to him, the more you start to look like him. And then you're able to cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba, Father, when you look at Abba, it means an endearment. It means Papa. It means Daddy. It means Daddy, Father, God. It means that we have a relationship with one another. I'm not just saying that I'm your creation, but I'm saying I'm your child. We got to see and understand that not everybody is going to be a child of God. If you read Romans 8 chapter, you'll find out. He said that they that are not, that does not have the spirit of Christ is none of his. In other words, you don't belong to him if you don't have his spirit. You don't belong to him if you're not led of his spirit. Come on and say amen. And so you can't be a hellion and talking about we all are children of God. No, you can't be a heathen and keep hollering about I'm a child of God. You can't keep lying on people and stealing from folks and holler about you a child of God. You can't, come on and say amen. You can't keep being slippery and slimy and turn around and say you are a child of God. At some point you ought to have some conviction that says, you know, I can't keep living like this. I believe I need to change a little bit. I believe I need to start working on my cussing. I need to stop lying sometime. It don't make no sense for me to lie like I'm preach anyway. It don't make no sense for me to be doing what I'm doing. I need to make a change in my life. You start looking at yourself and say, I need to look like him. You know how, you know what your children do? They may not tell you this, but they, I remember doing this myself. You start looking at your dad, you start looking at yourself and seeing what, how you starting to develop and look like them. You start looking at yourself and you start to see what they do, and you see what you think is cool that they do. You start trying to do it when you're around your friends, huh? That's what your children do right now. They try to dress like you. That's why they put on your shoes when they little and walk around the house and fall over. That's why they try to put on. Oh, come on and say, man, I wonder where my shoes at, and somebody got them in there. Why are you wearing my shoes? Because they are trying to walk like you. Come on and say, man, here, there's something about you that they like. And so we need to start looking at our Father and say, Lord, let me put on your shoes. Lord, let me walk like you. What you doing with my shirt on? It's too big for you. Well, I just wanted to feel you. Come on and say, man, I want to feel like you. And so we ought to want that from God. We ought to want that adoption to take place in us, that we start to feel like we belong to the family. And you know what I love about adoption is that when you look at that child and you choose that child, you can't unchoose them. I don't care what happened. You can take your natural child and say, I don't want you. You can tell them I'm cutting you out the wheel. But when you got an adopted child, I don't care what you say to that child, they always got an inheritance. You can say, I don't want want to own you anymore. But the state said, when you die, they got what you had. I wish I had somebody here. You got to understand that an adopted child has more rights than a natural child. And so what I'm saying, that Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, I got so many rights now because God looked at me and I wasn't made in his image, but I was made and I was made in iniquity. Oh, come on and say amen. I was conceived in a sinful nature, but now God looks at me and say, you're my child. I wish I had somebody here. He says that the adoption took place, and verse 16 said, and the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Am I too long for you? I'm almost to a close. He said the Spirit bear witness itself with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, things are established. In the Old Testament, if you had two witnesses, that was it. That's all you needed. So the Spirit bear witness, then your spirit bear witness that you are a child of God. So how do you know that you're a child of God? I just know that I'm a child because the Spirit said it. Come on. The Spirit came in my life and my spirit feels different. I looked at my hands and they look new. But what if they don't look new? I'm still a child. Looked at my feet and they did too. But what if they don't look new? I'm still a child of God because the Spirit of God took residence in my life and gave me, come on, look at this. When you adopt a child, that child gets a new name, takes your name. We are all Christians in this place today, I hope. And not only that, but your child, he gets a new address. See, my address and my destination was going to be hell, but now it's at 100 heaven. I wish I had somebody here that realized that we had a change of address because God has adopted us. And so I don't live where I used to. And so since I don't live where I used to, I should not live like I used to. Come on and say amen. If you adopt a child from the jungles of Africa and they had no shoes on, you take them and put them over here, you give them shoes. And so he don't have to act like he's in the jungle. He don't have to get his food and go hide and eat his food because it's not going to be anymore. He can eat all he wants because now it's changed for him. And so what I'm telling you, that you are adopted by God and everything that God has is yours. You don't have to act like you used to. You can start living life believing that God can and he will, that he'll never run out of anything, that I can have whatever I need according to his riches and glory, that I can do all things through Christ. Oh, come on and say amen. I don't have to worry about anything because I am adopted. Let's look down at verse 17. He said, and if the children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. He says this, I got an assurance. I want to let you see this. He said, this is the blessing. He said, I'm adopted and I got an assurance here. What's my assurance? I'm a joint heir with Christ. Some of us don't want to be joint heirs. We want to say, well, we want to try to be humble and say, no, I ain't a joint heir. I just want to be somewhere in the kingdom. No, I want to be where he wants me to be. If he wants me to sit by him, I'm joined up with him. He said, you are joint heirs with Christ. And so in other words, whatever Christ has, I have. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And see, whatever Christ has, he lives forever, so I get to live forever. He rose with all power, so I get to rise with power. Do I have any witnesses here? He had the love of God in his heart, so I get the love of God. He said that the Holy Ghost is given to us, and he'll shed the love of God in our hearts. Do I have any witnesses here? So whatever Christ has, I get to have. But then he said, if so be that we suffer with him, we'll be glorified together. Sometime we're going to have to go through some stuff. Here's where we can start to shout now. You can wake up, shake yourself. Come on and say amen here. Here's where we can start saying it's going to be all right now. Because if we suffer a little while with him, he said, because suffering is just for a little while. He said, you can be glorified with him together. In other words, whatever got you down won't keep you down. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, even when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Do I have anybody? here that realizes that if I go through some stuff now, I'll be glorified with him later on? Do I have any witnesses that say if I take my cross now and I take this death now, he'll resurrect me into a newness of life? People won't even recognize me. You're talking about preacher. Remember, the Bible says that as they walked down the Emmaus Road, they didn't know it was Jesus because he had resurrected. They had saw Jesus a while back, but then they said, man, you don't know what happened. But then after Jesus left them, they said, did not our hearts burn within as he walked with us along the way? And they knew it was Jesus. You see, you got to understand that people won't be able to identify you because they're looking for a suffering person. They're looking for somebody with their head down. They're looking for somebody with their hand out. They're looking for somebody who's been beat up, who's been bruised, who's saying that I might as well throw in the towel. But when they come and see you, they see somebody empowered. They see somebody who's ready to overcome obstacles. They see somebody who's more than a conqueror. They don't realize that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Do I have anybody here that has a blessed assurance? Come on and say amen here. I wish I had somebody that wasn't sitting on their blessed assurance and said, Lord, I have blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. He said, look, we're in verse 18. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory of God, which shall be revealed in us. So what is your saying here, Paul? Paul said, I'm trying to tell you that there is an assurance you can count on. I wish I had somebody that realized you in good hands with Christ Jesus. You need to get a piece of the rock. Oh, come on, the rock is Jesus. You need to know that there's some good assurance. I'm not talking about insurance. I'm talking about assurance. I'm realizing that he said, I reckon. That means Paul took some thought about it. And he said, I've come up with this conclusion that no matter what I suffer with, he said, ain't worthy. Oh, come on and say amen to be compared to the glory. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. What did we say last week? When I start looking at what I went through versus what I'm going to get through.
Amen.
Oh, come on and say amen. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that whatever you're suffering with, it's not even worth mentioning in the same sentence with eternal life. What I'm suffering with is not even worthy to be mentioned in the same sentence with what God is doing for me now. Oh, come on and say amen. I don't need to say I was sick and the Lord healed me. All I need to say is the Lord is a healer. I don't need to say I was bound and the Lord set me free. All I need to say is the Lord is a deliverer. Do I have a witness in here? I don't need to say I was blind. All I need to say he's my optometrist and he gave me sight. Do I have a witness here? I don't need to say he's a lawyer in the courtroom. All I need to say he's my counselor when I need counsel. Oh, come on and say yes. Come on and give God glory. But there's a blessing of being spirit-led, because whatever you go through now, God said, don't you worry about it. I got a reward. Your reward is great in heaven. Oh, come on and say amen. Do you know that you have to go through a cross in order for you to get your crown? You got to cry sometimes. You have to go down sometimes and say, look like I'm not going to make it, for God to say, you're going to make it. Oh, come on and say, yeah. The Bible said that Paul said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect wherever you're weak. What are you saying now, preacher? I'm saying that sometimes we are too strong. You're trying to go off your own strength. You're saying, God, don't move the mountain. I'm just going to climb it up. You're saying, God, my shoulders are wide enough. I believe I can handle it from here. But God said, no. I want you to get so weak that you'll look to me and say, Lord, I need you to come into my life. And God said, I want want to show you that you can go down so low that I can still reach way down and pick you up. You can get stuck in the muck and the miry clay, but I can still pull you out. I wish I had somebody that said, I'm one of those witnesses that know that if you get so low that God can pick you up and turn your life around. Do I have anybody that say, I was one of those men that fell down 7 times, but I got back up. I ain't always been perfect. I got some stuff you don't need to know, but one thing I know is that God was on my side. He blessed my life. He turned me around. I used to be broke all the time. Now I don't know what it means to be broke. Do you have anybody here that say, sometimes I may not have $100 in my pocket, but by God, I got some money. Oh, come on and say amen. Do I have anybody that says, you know, I'm so thankful that I hadn't had to spend the night at the hospital. I've been sick in my days, but every time I turn around, the Lord keeps on blessing me. Do I have anybody in the church that said the Lord is a blesser? And I'm here to tell you that the Lord will and the Lord can. I say, won't he bless you? Come on, say, won't he bless you? We got to get to a place that when we're spirit-led, we're not afraid of what we're going through. Jesus was led by the Spirit to go into the wilderness, and the devil tempted him. Oh, come on and say amen. But the Bible said then the angels came and ministered to him. I wish I had somebody that said, I've been in the wilderness. I'm waiting on the Lord to come and deliver me. And see, sometimes he don't have to take you out to deliver you. He can leave you right there, and you overcome everything while you're still in it. God said you're going to win it. Preach anyway. I wish I had somebody. You see, God led Jesus up to Gethsemane to pray, and he went there and prayed. They came and arrested him. He let a friend betray him with a kiss. He let him go through all of that only to get him whipped all night until you couldn't recognize him. Somebody stripped his clothes. They shoot dice on his clothes, trying to see who can take him home. Then they took Jesus and they put him on a rugged cross, and they put nails in his hands and feet. Do you know this is not something that we are looking at as a pleasing thing to man, but it pleased the Father that he would suffer a while. Sometimes we have to suffer. We have to go through our cross. See, you won't crucify yourself. So God sent other folks. Don't get mad at your crucifiers. Don't get mad at them soldiers. They got some soldiers coming your way. They're marching to crucify you. There's some soldiers that got a wooden cross. They're ready to put it on your back. Do I have anybody here? Anybody here that realize you got somebody that's looking to crucify you? But when Jesus was on the cross, he didn't say, Father, kill him. He didn't say, Father, destroy him. He said, Father, forgive him. Oh, come on and say yes. And guess what God did? He let the sun get dark. He let Jesus get pierced in the side. Even in the darkest hour, seemed like they can't do no more. Then they go to poking you in the side. Do I have any witness? But then God allows even some of your enemies, the same folks that crucified you, to look up at you and say, surely this is a child of God. How do I know? Because of how I handled it. Because I didn't curse. Because I didn't doubt. Because I didn't fear. But I looked up to the Father and said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Then he died on the cross. Do you know, even if you died, that God can raise you up? He died on the cross. But early, say early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth. What are you saying now, preacher? I may die in this thing, but I'm not going to stay dead. Because when Jesus cracks the sky, the dead in Christ, they shall rise first. And we that are alive shall be caught up. Anybody caught up now? You'll be caught up later to meet him in the sky. Do I have a witness here that say it's is a blessing in being spirit led. Now, won't God bless you? I say, won't he keep you? Won't he make a way for you? Won't he turn your life around? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Won't God be a friend when you're friendless? Won't God help you when it seems you're helpless? Won't God heal you when the doctor shake his head and say, ain't nothing I can do? Won't God do it? I say, won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? When you're lying in your bed and it seems like you're all alone, he won't leave you. Say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. Is it a blessing to be spirit led? Because when you're spirit led, God won't let you fall in the traps. He'll let you know it's round the corner. They're trying to do this to you. They're